Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jarrett Diamond, who wrote one for the Wall Street Journal about this offseason and a lack of activity. Jarrett, thanks for taking a little time out of your day. Really appreciate it. Wonder this first and foremost. You write in your piece about a couple of guys who are going to probably sign for under market value, whatever that is. Dallas Keuchel, Adam Jones, Marwin Gonzalez, all these fellas. Is this now a situation that has players fearing for their futures? Because we've seen some under market extensions signed in Philly and in New York that really kind of made people scratch their heads.
Yeah, and I think those extensions are a sign of what players are thinking. It's clear looking at the deals that Aaron Nola and Luis Severino, and I expect more players to sign in the coming weeks. These are players that are saying, you know what? Free agency just isn't the cash grab that it used to be, and maybe I need to lock in my future now. These are deals that I truly don't believe that most players would have taken 5, 6, 7 years ago. And look, I'm not criticizing Aaron Nola. He just signed a deal for an incredible amount of money. He set up his future. He set up his family's future. And it's clear that Aaron Nola wanted to sign this deal, and he's comfortable with it. The same with Luis Severino. But the reality is, in the past, we would definitely look at those guys and say, man, they could have gotten more. And you're not as sure about that anymore.
Jarrett, you know, I thoroughly agree with a lot of what you wrote in your piece and what folks have said about the Albert Pujolses of the world, who signed a 10-year deal at 31, or A-Rod, who never even finished his $275 million deal, or Miguel Cabrera, who signed an eight-year extension when he was, what, 33 or something like that, maybe 34 even, it was going to kick in. But these two guys are 26. So do owners really believe that the back half of a 10-year deal, theoretical 10-year deal, for a 26-year-old is going to be bad money? Or are they taking the opportunity to make the point and drive home the hammer that they started to hammer with last year?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. And I agree with you. There's no reason to think that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado cannot still be good for 10 years. I'm not saying they'll be elite MVP players for 10 years, but even if you sign 26-year-old Bryce Harper to a 10-year deal, it's not unreasonable to think he'll still be a productive player at the end of that deal, and you hope he gives you MVP-caliber performances for that first, you know, two-thirds of the deal. But I think owners are one. They see this as an opportunity to try to stop signing these long deals. It's clear that owners no longer feel comfortable doing so, so now they're just lumping all players into it. And that's sort of why I think these teams are not ultimately giving the 10-year guarantees. But look, I still think when this is all said and done, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado will both get very long-term lucrative deals, just maybe not the $350, $375 million Scott Boras was clearly hoping to get at the beginning of all of this.
Talking baseball with Jarrett Diamond, his national writer for the Wall Street Journal. He is in Surprise, hanging out with the Rangers, and right now on Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score. I wonder, Jarrett, if we live in a world where front offices have now come up with one value for each and every player, and it happens to be the same because of, you know, math or whatever, what's the impetus on agents? Like, what do they need to do to counter that punch from a collective baseball noggin?
It's going to be very challenging for smaller agents, especially small-time agencies that don't have the big resources, because what they need are essentially analytics departments of their own that could counter the analytic departments of front offices. Front office analytics departments, when it comes to contract negotiations, are going to use numbers to justify paying less. I'm not saying they're lying. I'm not saying they're being dishonest. I'm just saying they're using the available statistics to paint a particular picture that's going to say a player isn't as valuable as an agent might find numbers that can show a different picture. So that's what agencies are going to have to do. It's something Scott Boras has had for years. There was a time when Scott Boras's data department was ahead of teams. Not anymore. And that's Scott Boras. If you're a smaller agency, if you're a one-man shop, they don't have the money to compete with these giant major league front office analytics departments. And that's going to be a real challenge. In fact, I think it's a big part of why we are where we are. And in fact, the same goes for the Major League Baseball Players Association, who in recent years has started boosting up its analytics department to sort of counteract the resources the league and teams have had.
One of my favorite interactions ever with Theo Epstein, Jared, was very early on, right after he'd taken the job, happened to be sitting next to him for a show, and I said, hey, so what do you guys use? Do you use FIP or XFIP when you're evaluating pitchers? And he said, we have our own proprietary data that we use. You know, looking down on me as the hipster sabermetrician he is, right? So every team has their own proprietary stuff. How on earth could seven teams reach the same exact conclusion on Brad Brock and tell him that he's worth 1 year and $4.35 million to their organization in their ballpark and have those offers come within days of each other? How is that even possible?
Yeah, it is strange. I know this is the second straight year I've heard that exact same story from free agents. Free agents saying, I got four offers. They were all exactly the same, exact years, exact dollars. That definitely makes you scratch your head. And again, I'm not accusing the owners of anything, but that does tell you that the market has shifted, that things have absolutely changed. Because it is strange. That is very, very strange.
I think, Jared, that one of the things the Players Union has in their favor right now, though it's going to be a theoretical argument they've got to make, and that could be tough for them to do given the position they're in, is if seven teams are going to offer Brad Brock $4.35 million for 1 year, then we don't need the luxury tax anymore. That was put in place to save owners and front offices from themselves, from overpaying free agents like Miguel Cabrera. If you're smart enough to make these deals anymore, then what the hell are we doing with the $206 million payroll number? I wonder if you have any sense of whether or not the union wants to or can go after that.
Well, of course, the union wants to get rid of the luxury tax. Look, I go back to yesterday in Florida, Rod Manfred gave his press conference, and he made a whole big point about how payroll is not connected to winning. So if that's the case, why you need the luxury tax? If there's no benefit to spending a lot of money to winning, why should you penalize teams for spending a lot? So I think Rob sort of talked himself into a corner there, because when you say there's no correlation between payroll and winning, there's no reason why you should be having a disincentive for teams to spend.
That is lip service to keep fandoms like the Oakland A's thinking that they can do what that team did last year. I mean, you look at the American League, we are looking at, what, 7 months of people playing for the fifth and final playoff spot. Tell me that the top four super teams in the American League are not going to make the playoffs again. It's there is no competitive balance. He can't realistically sell that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
he agreed so firmly.
Shut
so
that
strongly.
Phone off. Twisted it in half and threw it out the window.
In Jason Stark's annual spring training extravaganza that he writes up,
Did you do a word count on it?
By any chance? I did not.
Oh,
I should.
God, I usually do that, and I hadn't done it today.
It's they asked panelists to vote on the least improved teams in each league. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
25 different teams got votes as the least improved team because nobody's done anything. They asked the panelists to name in the American League, name your three most improved teams in the American League, right? And that 2/3 of the voters couldn't come up with a 3-deep list of teams that improved this offseason because nobody's done a damn thing.
I think we've got Jared Diamond connected back to the show. Jared, I think Spiegs was kind of making his point of, well, I can let Spiegs do it. I mean, that kind of comment is to keep franchises like the A's and their fan bases involved in the game still, yeah?
Exactly. Like, I know why he's saying it. This is a big point of contention for Rod Manfred that, oh, anyone could win. This is not a game that's determined by money. And look, you know, he's not 100% wrong. Like, the A's did have a great year spending very little. The Rays had a good season spending very little. But here's the thing. the Rays won 90 games. That's one way to look at it. Here's the other way to look at it. They came in third place in their division, didn't make the playoffs because two teams above them spent a heck of a lot more. So I think there's multiple ways to look at it. The same with the A's. Yeah, they had a great season. Did they win the division? No. They were in the wild card game and lost because another team spent a little bit more and did a little bit better. And oh, by the way, the Boston Red Sox spent more money than anybody in the major leagues last year, and they won the World Series. So to just sit there and say, well, money and winning are not connected, to an extent it's true, but it's a very selective way of looking at it from a particular perspective.
With all the heavy stuff that we've had to talk about during this baseball offseason, we've kind of just looked past the fact that there will be a 20-second pitch clock this season, more than likely. I know it's going to be in spring training, and I believe Rob just has to say go to have it happen during the regular season. Is that a thing for you, or are we just kind of going to move right through that and not notice?
I am pro pitch clock, and I think that might be a hot take among baseball people. I'm not really sure exactly. I think it's a good idea. I think it's a long time coming, honestly. The reality is the pitch clock's been in the minor leagues now for quite a while. So many, many players have experienced it already. It's had a positive effect in the minor leagues. And to me, it's a relatively easy change that I think will have an impact on sort of the way the game feels, the way the game moves. And yeah, there'll be an adjustment period and players will grumble about it at the beginning. But at the end of the day, they'll get over it, much like the mound visit thing last year, which, if you remember, was about a two-week conversation about how this mound visit thing is terrible, and no one really noticed it once the season starts. I think the pitch clock will be similar, and I think it will have an effect, because right now there is just too much dead time in the game, and a pitch clock at least keeps things moving a little bit.
You know, in 2021, when the collective bargaining agreement is up, I think we can all figure a work stoppage happens there. Maybe it's a lockout. Maybe it is a walkout from the players. Who knows what it's going to be. But I thought it was interesting that Adam Wainwright talked about doing it now, right? Or doing it this year at the All-Star break. You know, when you have the leverage in every sport has shifted to the year before the thing is expected. Mm. Is it conceivable that something happens before 2021 in terms of a work stoppage in your mind, Jared?
I think it's extremely unlikely, and not because there's players that wouldn't want to do it, but because once you start getting in run of federal labor laws and things like this, then you really get into trouble. And I love Adam Wainwright, and I do like what he said, but the reality is he wasn't speaking from a legal perspective. He wasn't speaking from what rights do we actually have at this particular time. Fortunately, there's people in his union that do. And we'll make sure that when the time comes, if it comes, to get to that point, it'll be done through the right channels.
Jared, great talking with you. Really appreciate you coming on. Enjoy Arizona. I guess the frost has broken. Apparently a really gross day for spring training baseball today.
Hey, it's the sun's coming out now. It stopped raining. It actually rained in Arizona this morning, which I didn't know that ever happened. Oof. But now the sun's out, and let's go. Let's stop. Ready to stop talking about economics and start talking about the game.
Couldn't be more with you. Appreciate you coming on. That's Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.